Again, you know, if you're visiting us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here, and please swing by and say hello, and let us know that you're visiting. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to John chapter 15. We've been thinking and praying about abiding in Christ, and John chapter 15 is the classic passage on that theme. And so we're going to look at that. And as you know, we've been going through the Gospel of John last fall. We'll look at chapter 15 today, and then we'll go back to chapter 9 beginning next Sunday and continue with the Gospel of John. But we wanted to start our year by looking at this passage, because this passage does address what it looks like for us to abide in Christ. Okay, so John chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. This is God's word. This is one of the I am statements from Jesus. And last fall, we looked at a few of those when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he also said, I am the light of the world. And these statements are helpful because they are really, they're simple statements. Like, I am the light, or I am the bread. I mean, that's something that all of us can easily and quickly understand. But he says these things so that not only are they simple, but they are at the same time profound. Because Jesus is trying to communicate to us like who he is and what he does and what he provides. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, like you think about bread, what bread gives sustains us. It strengthens us. And so Jesus is communicating when he says, I am the bread of life. He's saying, I provide you life. I provide you strength. And so when Jesus here says, I am the vine and you are the branches, his main point is that we are connected to him, right? He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Like, we are somehow, in some way, connected to him. And when we read chapter 14, Jesus talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus is saying is, in some mystical, mysterious, like, sovereign way, Jesus has now entered into our life. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, he says something that's amazing. He says, Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. Father, God the Father is in me, but I am in you, and you are in me. And Jesus is talking about how through the Holy Spirit, he has entered into our nature. He has entered into our life. And when you think about Jesus, some of us think that he is a good teacher, which he was. But teachers only provide information. Some of us might think Jesus was a great leader, and he was. But leaders only influence people. Jesus says, no, I not only influence my followers, not do I give you instructions. No, I have entered into your life. That's what Jesus is saying. I am the vine. And you are the branches. Another thing that he's kind of getting at, You know, when you look at the Old Testament, oftentimes God calls his people, Israel, his vine. But unfortunately, he talks about them being vine in a context where they were not able to produce fruits. Like they didn't glorify God. They didn't remain connected to God. And so what Jesus here says, he says, I am the true vine. Right? He says, I am the true vine. And what's amazing thing, when I kind of looked at this passage, he says, I am the true vine. And you would expect for him to say, well, if you remember Israel, I mean, they were vine, but they weren't able to produce fruit. They didn't glorify God. Jesus comes and he says, I am the true vine. And in some sense, you expect him to say, I am the true vine, and I will glorify God, and I will produce all these fruit. Well, that's not what Jesus says here. He says, I am the true vine. And then he says, you are the branches. What he's saying is, I am going to produce fruit, not by myself, but through you. He's saying, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and you are my branches, and it's through you that I am going to produce fruit. I am going to work. And I mean, that's amazing, and I want to talk about that a little bit more. But here's my two main points. Okay, one, we'll talk about why should we abide in him, and then secondly, how do we abide in him? Right? Why do we abide in him, and how do we abide in him? Why? So this is the goal of abiding. If you have your Bibles open or devices open, look at verse 4 with me. Verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the goal of abiding is that we might bear fruit. That's the goal. So the question then is, what's this fruit that Jesus here is talking about? Again, let me just point out that, I mean, this is amazing that Jesus could have done many things, or Jesus could have produced fruit on his own, but he says, no, you are now my extension. You are connected to me, and through you, I'm going to display my glory. It's through you, I'm going to accomplish my will. He is inviting us to be part of who he is and what he's going to do or what he's doing. Like, we are connected to Jesus in that way. So what is the fruit that he's talking about here? I think there are two general things. One, I think Jesus is talking about our character. So if you kind of read the passage in chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then verse 11 of chapter 15, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. And then you go down a bit, verse 12, chapter 15, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. What's this fruit that Jesus here is talking about? Well, he's talking about, on the one hand, he's talking about the qualities like love and peace and joy. Like that when we're connected to Jesus, we abide in him, like our life will begin to display these qualities like love, like peace, joy. And, you know, those of you who sort of grew up in the church, you know Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, if you remain in Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. How many of us need patience, more patience in our life? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What Jesus here is saying is when we abide in him, these qualities will become of us. Like we will become more loving. We will become filled with joy and peace. We'll become faithful, become gentle, self-control. And these are heart inner changes. And isn't it true, friends, that this is what we really want in our life? Like, this is what we want and this is what we need. I mean, how many of us, as, you know, Pastor Tracy was talking about praying for friends. I mean, perhaps one of the issue is not that we don't know how to pray, but it's like our hearts. We don't have enough love. I mean, you know, and maybe all those of us, you want to work on your marriage this coming year, which is a great goal. But can you imagine if you begin to, like, have these qualities in your life that you become more loving and patient and peaceful? There you go. It's not Dan's fault. Sorry, ask me. I mean, can you imagine if these qualities become of you? Like, you don't really need to then worry about, like, trying to work on your marriage so much because, like, these things will become of you. You'll be gentle and patient. How about parenting? How many of us want to become better dads and moms? I mean, can you imagine if these qualities become, you possess these qualities to a greater measure this coming year? I mean, these are what we all want. But here's the thing. These are awfully hard to get. You know, when we know people who make New Year's resolutions, they want to change. A lot of times it's like, you know, you try hard for a season and you kind of give up because, it's not happening. You look at your life and it's, you're still the same. The gospel tells us, Jesus says, abide in me. My spirit, I will begin to change your heart. I will begin to change your desires. You will become more like me because we are really an extension of who Jesus is. So the goal of abiding in Christ is bearing fruit. And what is that? It's becoming more like Jesus in these qualities. And I think this is actually one of the big differences between religion and what the gospel tells us, right? Religion says, try hard to become a better person. The gospel says, we can't do it on our own. We need the grace of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God to change us from inside. This is what we need this coming year. Well, another aspect of the fruit that Jesus here talks about is in John 15, verse 16, if you go a bit down, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Right? You should go and bear fruit. And in other places, in Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples. I think another aspect of bearing fruit is being effective in our ministry. That you go and bear fruit. You go and make disciples. You go and love people. Another way to think about fruit, being fruitful, is being effective in what God has called us to do. We bear fruit in that way. You know, this past weekend or Friday, Saturday, we had our leadership retreat, and I don't know about all the leaders who participated in our time together, but I had a great time. I mean, I came home yesterday and I was so tired. I was really tired, but like inwardly, I was like really energized, and I was trying to tell my wife how good it was, and I hopefully I made sense. But one of the things that we did was, and this passage kind of talks about here, because Jesus says, if you read that passage, go and bear fruit, abide in me, your fruit will abide. And then he talks about prayer. And so I think there's a connection between bearing fruit, being effective in ministry, and asking God and in prayer. And so one of the things that we did during our retreat, actually the first thing that we did, we got there on Friday night, and we worshiped, and we just spent praying. And we prayed for you. We prayed for our Arlington service. We prayed for our missionaries. We prayed for our kids. We prayed for the next generation. We prayed for this region. We prayed. We prayed. And one of the ways that we prayed was we said, let's raise our hand like Moses. Remember Moses in the book of Exodus? Moses went on top of a mountain, and he raised his hand, and he prayed and asked God to work. And that's what we did. We just got together, and we had our hands up, and we just for a few minutes just prayed. And we prayed that God would allow us to be effective in the things that he has called us to do. Because that's bearing fruit. Like, Jesus wants us, the church, you, me, us to bear fruit. And how do we do that? We abide in him. And one of the ways that we abide in him is through prayer. We said, God, help our church, help us to bear fruit this year. So what's the goal of abiding in Christ? It's to bear fruit. It's character change, but also it's being and doing a ministry that will bear fruit, being fruitful as we do ministry. I just want to mention one more thing about the bearing fruit, and it comes from verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So here's something that's important. Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. So God is the vine dresser. And he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So I think how we could take that is, if you've been in the church for a long time, like 5 years, 10 years, maybe for some of us all of our life, but there isn't any change in your life at all. There's no desire for God. There's nothing of God. Then I think we can kind of ask ourselves, am I really connected to the vine? Like, am I really connected to Jesus? Am I really walking with God? But what I want to focus on is the second piece there. He says, so every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So what is that? He's saying every branch that does bear fruit, that means like you are seeing change in your life. And you're seeing fruit in your ministry. Like, you're growing in your prayer life. You're evangelizing. Like, things are happening in your life. Jesus said, if that's you, the next step, what you can expect is pruning. Now, what's pruning? In our neighborhood, we have time to time our neighbors would trim or prune trees. You know, and when we walk by or drive by, I mean, these massive trees that have dead branches. And sometimes they would cut down these branches so much that all of their driveway, their yard, sidewalk is all covered with branches that are dead or rotting away. And then after they're done, you look at the tree and it seems so bare. I mean, all the leaves are gone and branches are taken away. And you go, oh my goodness, what is this? Well, that's kind of what pruning is. Pruning is taking away branches that are rotting. Right, that are dying or decaying. But the goal is so that the tree or the branches might bear more fruit. And so here's what you can expect. If you sense God working in your life and you're growing and you're changing, you can expect actually that God might come and prune you. Meaning take things away that are unnecessary. Take things that are away that are maybe not good for you. So that you might bear more fruit. Like, take things away that's kind of getting in the way of you abiding in Christ. And God does that. You know, when we prayed for our church, one of the leaders prayed this prayer, and I was actually kind of afraid. Like, she prayed. I wrote it down. Let me just. She said, she was praying for our church, and she said, God, we give you permission to prune us. I was like, oh man, don't pray that prayer. Because that means God, we're yours. You could do to us whatever you want. Like, take away things that are not of you. Like, remove idols in our lives. Like, take away things that are not fruitful, not beneficial to others. I mean, she prayed that, God, we give you permission to prune us this year. I said amen very softly. Because that means sometimes hardships will come. But we need to remember, I need to remember, that it's so that we might bear more fruit. And Jesus comes to us in kindness, and he begins to prune us. And it's painful at times, but we remember that God does it with gentle, loving heart so that we can become more like His Son, Jesus. Let me just encourage you with this verse, Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, "Our Father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Later on. And so, you know, friends, if you're feeling that, if you're feeling the pruning hand of God in your life today, just know that it's for your own good. And later on, you will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. I want to encourage you to remain in the vine. Persevere. Don't give up. Because God is doing something amazing in your life. Because again, if we're connected to Him, the goal is that we bear fruit. All right, second point, and this will go by quickly. How do we abide in Him? Just two things, really quickly. One, verse 7, He says, "If you abide in Me, and My word abide in you." So Jesus has already said a few times, if you abide in Me and I in you, if you abide in Me, I in you. Then here He says, if you abide in Me and My word abide in you. And so I think what we can deduce is that Jesus abiding in us and His word abiding in us is actually interchangeable. They're kind of the same thing. One of the ways that we can abide in Christ or allow Jesus to abide in us, Jesus enter in, is that we abide in His word. Right? That scripture that we have, that you have, that's God's voice, that's God's thought, that's God's life-giving apparatus to us. So we abide in His word. What does that look like? Well, I mean, it looks like many different things. It might mean just reading the Bible. Maybe you read it every day. You try to finish the Bible in 1 year. I mean, those things are good things, reading. But it also, I think, implies that we go deep. Like it's not only breath reading, but it's depth reading. And that takes like things like meditation, like reflection, maybe study. So we do that in our small groups, right? We study the word together to understand it better. And maybe as you do your quiet times, you read it on your own, you reflect it and pray about it. I mean, all those things, you're trying to allow God's word like to dwell in your soul. You're trying to internalize God's word. And that, friends, give you life. Then we're abiding in Jesus. As we think about that, what the parable that came to my mind is from Mark chapter 4, when Jesus says, the farmer scatters the seed, and it falls on different soil. But only one soil produces much fruit. And he talks about how different soils, it's so hard, or there are things inside that, like the seed is choked. And this is one thing that Jesus says about this particular soil. He says, it doesn't bear fruit because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it produces, it proves to be unfaithful. Just pause and think about this. God's word, even now, you're hearing God's word, you're reading God's word. And Jesus here says, some of us, we have other desires. We care for the world. Deceitfulness of wealth, it chokes God's word so that it doesn't produce fruit. So what that means, practically speaking, is some of us need to unclutter our hearts so that there are not these other desires that are competing with the word of God, which has power to change us. So maybe as you read the word, as you meditate on God's word, you also need to take things out from your heart. Like other desires, because Jesus says they choke God's word in our hearts and it produces no fruit. For some of us, then it's like, take things out. What desires do I have? I mean, practically, the things that you meditate on, things that you look at, things that you think about, I mean, you internalize, and those things produce desires. And so you want to maybe, like, remove unnecessary things to the margins of your life so that you make sure that there is enough space in your heart for God's word to do its thing as you hear it and as you read it. So the word of God. And then secondly, lastly, and we'll close here, verse 9. I think this is really important. It says, verse 9, I mean, how do we abide in Jesus? Verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then read that slowly. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now abide in my love. Jesus is saying, as Father has loved me, what kind of love is that? That's perfect, complete love. Jesus says, as Father has loved me, now I have loved you with that same love. The love that you have from Jesus is complete, perfect love. Like, he cannot love you anymore. Like, it's done, it's completed, it's perfect. He loves you with that love. And Jesus says, abide in my love. It's not that you are trying to earn God's love. No, you already have his love. It's perfect love, complete love. You have it. You can't add more to it. It's perfect. Jesus says, that's how much I love you. Now abide in my love. Now, the question is, well, how do we do that? We can't earn it. You have it. Some of you might think, well, but I don't feel it. Well, Jesus here says this. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And I think this is what Jesus is saying. I love you so much. I love you with the perfect love that God has for me. Like, I can't love you anymore. The way that we experience that love is through obedience. Like, the way that we sense God's pleasure is as we keep his commandments. It's not that God loves you more when you obey, but as you obey, our hearts sense his love more. We experience God's love more. And that strengthens us. Our hearts are then flooded with the love of God. We feel it. We sense it through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Something that we have already. So abide in his commandments. Obey. Not to earn God's love, but to experience what we have already, friends. Amen. That's a soft amen, but I'll take that. That's significant for you. So that's all I have. So let's pray. We're gonna sing a few songs as we close, but let's just take 30 seconds. And this passage it's so encouraging because the thrust of the passage is Jesus is saying, "You are already connected to me." You already have this eternal love from me. You have it already. Church, my son, my daughter, I just want you to abide in this love that I have for you. This love that's perfect and complete. You have it. We want to hold on to that. We want to experience that. Take 30 seconds and maybe you could begin to pray and ask God to just work in your heart and your life. And that applies to all of us, including me. And so let's do that for 30 seconds and Eric will lead us into some songs as we close our time.